Today's daf is daf bet, and last year we ended with the sugya is as follows: Hamal ve chaveiro. This is what Rav Babar Mamal says. Rav Babar, Rav Matna says in the name of Rav. Hamal ve chaveiro almanat shelo l'tovo shvit mishamtato. That if someone lends someone money, almanat shelo l'tovo, meaning I'm not gonna, you've got a long loan. I'm not gonna call it back for 10 years. Then shvit would still mishamet the loan. Shvit would still absolve that debt. Okay, now you again, the Havli Minna was since the Torah says that when it comes to Shvi, you're not allowed to press the person back to get the money, and that's why the debt's absolved. So you might think that's only when you have the capacity to press the person to get the money back. However, in this situation, since you can't, it's like 10 years out, so then now you can't press it back, then maybe the debt would not be absolved. Kamash Malan, that the debt is still going to be absolved. Since at the end, you'll be able to claim the money back, it makes it as if it's now already claimable in the sense that you have to absolve the debt. That's what we said. Now this sugya we saw in Masechta Shvi, and for obvious reasons, that's also Shmita. So I'm going to bring the Perush, presumably I didn't go over the Shir, but the point to Reb Chaim, and then I might compare with Korban Eda because it's slightly different in a few points. So let's have a look. So Vataninan, we learned in the Mishnah, one second, Ashchetat HaPara V'Chakav Rosh Hashanah. If someone shechts a para, a cow, V'Chakav distributes in Rosh Hashanah. For Amar Rav Elazar, now what's that case? That case is that depends if this is towards the end of Shemitah. And at the end of Shemitah, it's going to absolve the debts. So if he distributes this meat on Rosh Hashanah to various people, when's he going to get paid back? He's going to pay back after Rosh Hashanah. So if it ends up being a Chodesh Mu'ubara, means the day he distributed the meat was the last day of Shemitah year, that means that that's going to be absolved. However, if it's not a Chodesh Mu'ubara and that day was really Rosh Hashanah, that's already the first day of the next year, the debt's not absolved. Okay, that is that discussion there. The Amar Rav Elazar, what's this case referring to? It must be referring to Rabbi Yehuda here. Now, what's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? And that's again another sugu, which is talking about Hakafat Chanut. Hakafat Chanut, meaning if there's a line of credit at a makolet, for example, at a shop, then that is not considered a loan, and Shmita doesn't absolve that debt. Okay, it's not considered a loan, it's just a line of credit, and it will pay me later. Okay. However, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the customer comes back again to buy another product, since at that time he said, "Look, you should be paying back for the previous one," then what it does, it creates all previous credit prior to that. If he doesn't pay it back, into a loan, and Shvi'u Meshamet that loan. That's Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Chachamim say Hakav HaChanut is not considered Meshamet. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If it's like a second iterate, like a returning customer, and he's trying to buy more product. Since already at that time the shop owner said, "Look, you should be paying me now," and he didn't, it turns it into a loan, everything prior to that point. That's what it says. So therefore he says, "Oh, what must be our case? The situation of these people, the shochet who just checks this whole par and distributes all the different people, that must be Shita Rabbi Yehuda." Now I'm going to continue here, explain it like Reb Chaim, which is again Pnei Moshe here. Not Pnei Moshe, in the beginning explains it. It must be that case is where person came back again to this butcher to get some meat. So even though it would be a bit like a hakafah, since it's the second time it turned it into a loan, and that's why if it ticks over Rosh Hashanah, meaning that was really the 30th day of Elul, not the first day of Tishrei, that's why it ends up being absolved. That mission must be according to that opinion. So the Gemara continues, "Varaui hu latova b'Rosh Hashanah." What are you talking about? Can you ask for that money back on Rosh Hashanah? Of course not. So therefore, mashma, you see here, this is another case where despite the fact I can't claim the money back now, I'll only be, and it's a debt, we've defined it as being a debt, but I can only claim the money back after Rosh Hashanah. Nonetheless, Shmita absolves it. So this supports Shitat Rav, that what? That despite the fact you can't claim the money back in Shmita, because you will be able to claim the money back at extended time after, still Shvi'it's going to mesham at the loan. That's the way Reb Chaim explains the flow. This seems to be a proof. However, the continuation of Gemara says it differently. He says, one second, Kai Damara is almost like a Dechia that it's not a proof. Kai Damara, Damar Rav Ba, B'Shem Rav Zeira, Mekem Sheinor Uylatovo, Kamishu Uylamino. Kevan She, I'll explain, She Rauylamino, gives a change, Kamishu Rauylitnen Lomaot. So he says differently. He says in this situation, I'll just, you know what, I might. I'll copy down Reb Chaim. He says, this is not a proof for Rav. Meaning, in this situation, he can trust, because he's Ra'ui Lamino, he can fit to trust him. And he's trusting he's going to pay him back later. It's not like a normal Hakavat Chanut. or not really like alone, I should say. Actually, more like Akabakano. The Kamishra Ulamino, or Kamishra, or and therefore it makes it as if it's Ra'ulatovo now, and maybe that's why, that is why it's like the debt's absolved. So just to explain, we've said the Shitat Rav is, it's a 10-year loan, not Ra'ulatovo now. But nonetheless, since Ra'ulatovo down the track, Shvitz Meshamet. And we tried to bring this as a proof. In the case of the butcher, what happened with the butcher? He gave out the meat. It wasn't Ra'ulatovo now. You can't claim it back on Rosh Hashanah. Nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that debt is absolved by Shmita, despite the fact you know you can get it back later. That was the alignment we thought. And now we're saying it's different. Because it's Ra'ulah Minor, because it's different, then it's Kamisho Ilatov as if it's Ra'ulah to pay back right away. So it's not like a del, it's not like a del, a hands tied, like, or Tnai that binds me, preventing me from claiming back now. The two cases are different. And since Ra'ulah Tovo now, we have to understand why it's Ra'ulah Tovo. We'll get to that in a minute, but I think the hint to that in the Ritbaz, I'll get to that in a minute. It's then maybe it's different. Since the, you know, I'll read it now. He says, Ra'ulah Minor, this is a bit of the Ritbaz. Again, I didn't do the whole Ritbaz, just for this first point that he quotes the Gra. He says, Ain't sorry, in other words, Shu Ra'ulah Minor, Ain't sorry, Ra'ulah Tovo. As soon as it's Ra'ulah Minor, you don't need to be Ra'ulah Tovo. Ella Ra'ulah Tovo, Matzmo B'lo, because the person himself, since it's fully built on trust, the person himself should have brought it, should just give the money completely back. It's not like a loan where a loan has to be claimed back. Since it's a completely trust-based thing, like, oh, I'll give it to you, give it to me after Rosh Hashanah, then it's all already as, you don't need Ra'ulah Tovo. It's almost as if now there's a tefillah on it, such that now it's as if you could have claimed it. Not that, it's not that you could have claimed, but the concept of lo yigos would apply. But kinameh already lo yigos. Do not guess at that small because the person himself feels compelled, if you like, to pay it back. It was built on trust. It wasn't because he could have said, I'd like my money back. Already now he feels compelled to pay back. And it doesn't need a negisa, someone saying, I want my money, but now to create that shvi, like the shvi, therefore meshamed. Ela negisa niten. He's already compelled to. So just to explain outside, the flow then, according to the Reb Chaim, is as follows. The Gemara initially says, "Ah, we can bring a proof from the case of this this butcher on like a Shechting on Rosh Hashanah, and if it falls out that it's really the 30th of Elul, it's like a debt. Why is it like a debt? Well, this must be Rabbi Yehuda, then it must be a, like a repeat customer, and therefore turn into a debt. Okay, fine. So then we said, ah, but he can't claim the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, this is like a tonight that he can't claim the Rosh Hashanah. My hands are tied, I can't come back. Now let's feed the Meshama. You see, there's a proof for Rav." Even though I can't claim it back in Shemitah year, since I will be able to claim it after, or like in our case, so I can't get the money back in Rosh Hashanah, but I can claim it back after Rosh Hashanah. You see, it's Meshamet, our case, Meshamet proof for Rav. But now we're saying no. Ra'ulah Minor means that it's not that already, as we said, a bit like the Ribaz, once it's Ra'ulah Minor, since this whole thing was built on trust and not like a formal loan, then it's already the, you don't need a claim Ra'ulah Tov'or. You don't need it at that point to make sure the debt's absolved. So loy gos, because what's triggering the negisa? What's triggering the compulsion, the pressure? Not you saying it. It's the trust you built that the person himself feels I have to give it back. So there's already a negisa there. You don't need ra'ulah tovo, and that's why Shmita is absolving it. However, if the reason why you can't claim it back is based on that tonight, don't bring a proof from this sugya. That's Reb Chaim's reading of the sugya. I'll just show you here the Korban Eidah, because he sort of runs it differently. He, you know, actually, I'll confuse things too much. But he sort of sees the ending like a proof, not like a, the proof of the position rather than a rejection of the proof. You know, but we'll leave it like Reb Chaim. That's how we explain the parts and make it simple. Okay, Reb Yossi, I was tempted to, but okay, fine, doesn't matter. Reb Yossi Bar Abun says b'shem Rav, Hamavet Chavero Amanat Shelo Tifteno Shmita. The gears we have here is Eina Shvit Misham Tato. But again, back in Sefer Shvi'i, Reb Chaim changes that to Shvi'i Misham Tato, meaning I'm lending you money on condition. Now, this is not the same before. Before we said I'm not shalolat, that I'm not going to claim the money back till after Shmita. That's different. That's like terms of the extent of the loan. Here, what the person is saying is I'm lending you money on condition that Shmita doesn't mishamet the loan. Okay, in that situation.
Are you allowed to do that? Is it mushba bo'emet?
Well, that's the point. That's where Rabbi Chaim changes the word from takes the word ain out, and he says it's shvit would nonetheless mishamet the loan because you're matne amasha kotov b'torah. And
Oh.
call a mashin that matne amasha kotov that's nai batel. Make sense, Rabbi Yisrael? I think this is the direction you were going. You're trying to make a tnai against a din Torah. Tnai's batel so shvit's not nonetheless mishamet the loan. Okay, which is again the Korban Eidah keeps the girsa in a shivin mashamet. The question how does that work? But he seems to align it with the like but again, I'm not going to complicate things. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? This finally get to Mishnah. So if you remember, Aiden come along and say this person has to pay, there was a loan, Reuben and Shimon money, has to pay back in 30 days. Then, but the truth is, I found to be Zalman, but the truth is, it was really had to pay him in 10 years. So you can't say that it has to pay Reuven the full sum of the loan because he, again, yeah, would have to pay him back in 10 years' time anyway. So what is it you have to pay him, the Mishnah says? Well, how much would a person want to have the loan extended from 30 days to 10 years? That's what you're effectively making Shimon Reuven lose. That's what you have to pay him. Ah, the Gemara asks a question now, but what are you talking about? We just said if you lend someone money for extended period for 10 years, even if you stipulate that Schmidt would it's not conditional, it's not going to absolve the debt, it's going to absolve the debt. Mashma what? If they say this Edim Zomim come along and say the debt was 30 days, and in truth it was 10 years, it's not just a opportunity cost they're making him lose. They're making him pay the full debt that he wouldn't have to pay, because Schmidt would have absolved the debt entirely. Reuven didn't have to pay anything because it was after 10 years. Shmuel would have sold the debt. That's a kasha. Now, if you say you can't make it such a tonight because you're making time mashak kutuba Torah and to mishamad alone, then what's the Mishnah getting excited about? It's like saying the case should be equivalent to saying he owes him money when he doesn't really owe him money. Okay? That's what it should be. So, therefore, the Gemara here, this is Yerushalmi's reading. Rav Huna Amar Itpalgun. Palgun Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov Rav Sheshet. The machlok is as follows: Mashkon. As we know, there are ways in which a loan, or case, I should say, the loan on Shmita is not absolved. So Amar Shmita talking about one of them, either where the loan was ala Mashkon. We learned about that back in the Sefer Shvi'at, that since ala Mashkon, it's not considered, it's no violation of Goss because he has something and therefore it's not considered absolved. Or alternative through the Takana of the Prusbul, and that's what our mission must be talking about. But if there wasn't a pool, but it wasn't a mashkon, you're right. He would have to pay the Edim Zomim would have to pay the full amount. Okay, simple answer. Now the Gemara says, Tani Shloshim Yom Lo Iti Itai. Now what's Shloshim Yom Lo Itai? You've got a Braita that says 30 days, or Lo Itai doesn't exist. Or it's not clear what that means. So Shmuel Amar, no. Hamar v'chavro stam. By the way, all this we saw in Shmita, in Masechta Shvi'ah. Hamar v'chavro stam enor shalotovat Shloshim Yom. If someone lends someone money, he's not allowed to claim it back within 30 days. Okay, so a stam loan is 30 days. That's what this is referring to. That's what that's when Shloshim Lo Itai. So Gemara says, "A'al Rabbi Yehuda v'amar tam." He says, "I'll bring the pasuk for this." It says, "Kar v'shnata sheva shnata shmina." The year of Shmita is approaching. Lo it says, but it's interesting. Kar v'shnata sheva, the seventh year, shnata shmita. This is the year of Shmita. Question is, it seems to be superfluous. Lo hi shnata sheva shnata shmita. Isn't the seventh year Shnat Shmita? I don't really know this. Umar Talmud Lomar Kava Shnat Hasheva Shnat Hashmita. What's the pasuk then telling us the year has come? Now, to appreciate this pasuk and Reb Chaim's Perush on this, it says, "Shemelach Hampendia Davar Amchab Im Levav Chabliyal Lemor Kava Shnat Hashmita." You're thinking, "Oh, Shmita is approaching." And therefore, your brother who's a if you're on the destitute, you think, "Well, I'm not going to lend him money." Lot Ten Lo. Because if I lend him money, Shmita's coming up, I'm not getting my money back. Okay? The Torah says, don't do that. Because we'll go to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the sin will be upon you. Okay? That's the warning not to refrain from lending, as presumably no one will want to do, because Shmita's approaching. So, therefore, Shalot Tomah, you shouldn't say, Kol Shloshim Yom Ein Rashai Letovo. Lachar Shloshim Yom Bishamet Ksafim Hului Beno. Lefugim Tzarech Lamei Mar Kavashim Tashata Shmita. So what this means again, according to Chaim back in Masechta Shvi'ah, he says you might again. It's the end of the Shmita year that absolves the debt, according to this parish. We saw discussions about this before. You might think that I'm reaching the end of the Shmita year, And if I lend money in that last month, the month of Elul, I won't be able to claim it back within 30 days. And therefore, by the time the 30 days has expired, Shemitah's over, and therefore it's going to absolve the debt. Therefore, I don't want to lend him money. In other words, there's more of a reason towards the end of the year when effectively by the end of the year, already in Elul, anything I lend out now is going to be automatically absolved. Nothing I can do about it. Meaning, if it was, I don't know, in Nisan, I could think maybe the guy's going to pay me back. But lending in Elul, by definition, means I'm never going to get that money back. So that's what it's saying. It's warning you. It says, the end of this seventh year is approaching. This Shnat HaShmita, referring to Shnat HaShmita, is referring to the 30 days. The Shnat HaShmita now is the third, because 30 days of a year is considered like a year. That's my understanding. That's what the pasuk is referring to. That's his derivation. Because again, that 30-day period. Again, the Korban has a very different reading here. Says Vagara says, so according to the Reb Chaim's reading says, but one second, Rav Ba Bar Mamal Rav Amram Rav Matnas is the name of Rav in the beginning. This is what we learned at the beginning of the sugya. It says if someone lends money to someone on condition he cannot claim it back till after Shemitah. Again, 10-year loan, something like that. Nonetheless, Shvitz Mesham had that loan. And we're not talking about the Tanah Masha Kutub Torah. This is the first case. It was got through the time period. So there, what we're saying now is, why do I even need that Maimer of Rav? It seems to be clear that we can learn it straight from the Psukim. Kavah Shnata Sheva Shnata Shmita. Because that's exactly the proof. Because this is the case where the person's hands are tied. Because he lent his money out in Elul. And his hands are tied because I can't claim the money back for 30 days. It's bidyuk like a tonight, like Rav said. And nonetheless, the Torah is telling him, be careful that you say, be careful that you don't refrain from lending him, despite the fact Shmita will absolve that debt. Meaning, I can't claim it back till after Shmita. Nonetheless, Shmita absolves the debt. That's exactly what Rav is saying. So therefore, it's saying that the full coin of Rav Chaim is, why then do I need the whole memory of Rav? We knew this from the Psukim anyway. That's the thing. However, the reason is because Eshtach Tani Rebbe Yishmael, because you've got another brayta that seems to have a different explanation of how to read the Psukim. It says, Tani Rebbe Yishmael, Kavash Shnata Sheva Shnata Shmita. What's that mean? Lo hi Shnata Sheva Shnata Shmita, after the same thing. Matamal Kavash Shnata Sheva Shnata Shmita. Shlotamar Kol Shevin. It teaches you something different. In other words, Shnata Sheva Shnata Shmita has spoken about two different, not two different, like legal periods of time, like we've been explaining it, but two concerns. One is Shnata Sheva, Shnata Shmita, meaning Shlotamar Kol Sheshanim. I'm lending money normally as a means of income. Why? He's got his kerem lefanav, he's got his sadeh lefanav, that's all his property. He can harvest, sell, everything's olachar shanim at. And when in this situation, olachar shanim hashamat kasafim hu loig bena lufum ken sarich meimar kavashel shanim shvita. Meaning, but in this situation, during the shmita year, he's not going to have any means of income. Everything's hefker. And at the end of the year, the kesef is going to be absolved. So why should I lend him money? Now let's talk about two different kinds of Shnata Sheva, the fact that in Shnata Shmita, he can't work, that's going to be absolved, and he can't work in the land to get an income. So again, warning you, no, don't be what's the line? Don't be cruel in that situation, and ensure you still look after the destitute. Okay, let's now learn the next mission. It's Halacha Gimel. Now, we explained this before, that how do Edom become Zolomim? Because the Torah says, according to, I'm bringing the Korban Eda, he says, V'nei ed sheker ha'ed. The Ed himself is sheker. The Torah talks about Edom Zolomim being because Edom himself is a lie. Not that the content of what he's saying is a lie, it ed sheker ha'ed. Right? Ed sheker ha'ed. So what's that mean? I have to show that they themselves are false. How do you do that? Ketzad. Amar me'ini mashponishu hu haraket ha'nefesh v'amu lo he'achatem ha'medim she'haraket ha'nefesh or ha'oreg she'arei ha'nerag sorry, well, sorry again. Amru he'achatem, how can you testify she'ha'nerag hazeh or ha'rog ha'yeimanu oto hayom b'makom ploni. In other words, the Gemara is saying, if other witnesses came and showed that the substance of the testimony is false. For example, they say, how can you claim that Reuven killed Shimon? Reuven was with us at that time, or Shimon was at that time. Like the Edom of the alibi, for example, That wouldn't make the witnesses false witnesses. Einan's on. Aval Amruf, they come along and say, Hey, achatem me'idim, how can you even pretend to be testifying here? Sharei atem atem ayitem imanu oto ayom makom ploni. You were with us in a different location at that time. You claimed to be testifying. Ah, that's showing they themselves are false. Not the subject, but they themselves. Harei elim zomim, that's when naragim apim. If it was a capital case, they would receive the physical commission and die and be killed. Now Gemara says, Ba'u acherim, others come along, vizimum. Ba'achim vizimum, afilu mea kulam yargu. Now this is interesting. What this means, and I have to get the lashon right here. Let's say two witnesses come along and say so-and-so died. Then another pair, Reuven and Shimon, they've given a name, come and say, oh no, you guys are false witnesses. So another pair of witnesses come along and say, oh no, this guy committed murder. Reuven and Shimon come along and say, oh no, you guys were also with us at that time. And this seems to repeat the pattern, meaning every set of witnesses that come and try and make this person guilty for murder, this Reuven and Shimon saying, oh no, you're with us. The Gemara says in that situation, well, kolam yargu, koin chachamim, well, they're all false witnesses. However, Rabbi Huda says, there's some sort of a conspiracy going on here. Meaning someone committed murder and he got two of his friends to come along and protect him if anyone comes and testifies against him to say, act as the mazimim, to say that they're false witnesses. So for Enon Reget, Elakab Rishon Bilvad, it's too fishes, too suspicious, so therefore only the first pair that were the false witnesses are killed. Now, if it's istis, if it's a conspiracy, why were you even killing the first ones? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Gemara says, "Einim nasim zom ramama sells b'hush ne'arag." That's only talk. When it means only the first person pair is killed, I mean the first pair of witnesses that they Reuven and Shimon claim to be false, that is only if they were already killed, right? In other words, we didn't know it was a conspiracy at that point. In other words, aval im lo ne'arag lo hada. If they were about to be killed, another set of witnesses came on, then Reuven and Shimon play their cards and saying, oh, you're also a set of false witnesses, then already a worse conspiracy wouldn't kill anybody. That's Rabbi Shimon. Because that which is killed is only the first one that was neherege, meaning they were already killed, not in a hurgim. I think that's understanding. Rabum bar chiyabai kamei Rav Zira. We'll do a bit more. Hayum dimum medim alav sha'raket ha'nefesh b'lod. Two witnesses come along and say, this guy committed a murder in the Lord. Ubachim, and I'll say it when it says, you with us, you with us at the time in Caesarea. How can you just buy you in Lord? You with us in Caesarea. Classic case of all witnesses. However, this is where it gets interesting. And the set of witnesses come along and says, how can you testify? You with us in Sipori. The question is, what do we do? Hareg eno neragag. Before we actually explain this in any more detail, what's the third set of witnesses coming to say? Who are they making false? So the way that Bnei Moshe says is they're also coming along and saying that the first set of witnesses are false. Meaning you've got two sets of witnesses that are coming to make the first set of witnesses false, but they're contradicting each other. That's the case according to Bnei Moshe. And therefore, that's why the Gemara says, the murderer is not killed, because maybe the first set of witnesses are all witnesses. Even the second set of witnesses aren't killed, because Shema Emet Amru. Maybe they're true, and these other, this conflicting set of like second-tier witnesses are also wrong. So you can't do anything. That's what Bnei Moshe explains. But interesting, the Korban Eder says, no, it's a train. Meaning, set of witnesses said he killed in Lod. Second set of witnesses, how can you be testifying? You're with us in a case area. Then the third set of witnesses say about that second set of witnesses, how can you be saying that that you were in Tzipori at the time, sorry, in Caesarea at the time, you were with us in Tzipori. So we've got like a train, like a, not two sets of conflicting, more like a chain of witnesses. So the Korbanator says, what do we do in this situation? I'll show you here the Korbanator. He says, Mi Amrina, do we say Haureg and Enarag? The murder isn't killed. Shema be the first set of witnesses are zomamim because the second set made the first set false. V'gama einim ne'aragam, but the first set aren't killed. Sharei hizimu kachlishi lekachleni because the third set made the second set false. All right. Do we say that? Or Dilma, no. Ki am Rabbi Yehuda ne'aragad el karishon when we says only karishon are killed. Hainu rishona or mezumim or amazimim. Right? The law amrina istisi zu elim ken bau kat revit vizimun shlishit. In other words, what the Korbanator is saying is just because it's a chain yet, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when is it considered like, looks like a bit of like a conspiracy? That's when we had Reuven and Shimon, two witnesses, constantly falsifying sets of witnesses coming one after the other. Those two were just constantly falsifying any set of witnesses come to try and accuse us. But that's when we said something's fishy going on. But in this situation, maybe there's nothing fishy about it. You got first set of witnesses says you should be killed. Second witness says you're false witnesses. And the third set says no, the second set of false witnesses. So the first is kosher, the second set should be killed and then game over. So we're not, that's what the question is. Do we say it's, is this still a suspicious ISTA situation, or is this simply normal flow of events? That's the question of the Gemara. And that's what the Gemara then seems to say, Haregen and seems to be Kormei, more left as a left as a question, whereas the Pnei Moshe says, it seems to be suggested we're sort of left in suspense. Okay, so we'll continue from the next Mishnah. That's here. Have a good Shabbos and Kochaydash.
So what happens if afterwards still people come? Now we kill them, okay? One cat is killed because that's it. And then it can never be reopened the case that the ones who were me'idim aleihem, and because of that they were
Are you talking
killed.
about Rabbi Yehuda?
Sorry?
You're talking about Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
Yes, I
When
forgot
does
to
it?
mention this. Thank you for pointing this out, because the Korban Es says this. There's a Lishna Acharina. I'll just show you this here. You know what? Let's go through the Korban Eder on the Mishnah. It says entering a cut Shomavah. There's two opinions that I think relates to what you're talking about, Rabbi Israel. We'll go from the Lishna Acharina. Rabbi Yehuda Kanav. Is this who? This is a whole conspiracy. Zek Kamezimim V'ein Laharoga Al Pihem. Then therefore you can't kill him. Avalididi balav is this, even without is this, Nami Einoneregan, even without a conspiracy, we can't kill them. Ela only first Karishona. Why? She'ani sover. I think this is what you're alluding to. She'ani sover. Lachar di'it zama la Karishona. Once a first set of witnesses have been found to be false,
Yeah.
tu melo mekablim sa'aduta de kachnia. We never accept the second set of witnesses.
Thank
The
you.
Akilas Adibatra, that comes to Setzai after. The acid vitzame, look at if they testify about false, wouldn't kill them. The law karina bevasitim law the law katlina apume, because he wouldn't be killed. So to explain it outside, it seemed to be that the way the second parish lishna karina in the Korban Eder is that when the Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, one second, we can't kill multiple sets of witnesses because it's all conspiracy. That was only a shita chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you want a case where someone is accused and the false witnesses and the witnesses that almost got him killed, found to be false. That's it. Case closed. We don't go any further. That's
Exactly.
Rabbi Huda. It seems to be according to Chachamim, they would go further. They would keep going in the case. But according to Rabbi Huda and then Shtacharina, that's it. That's
That's
the
it,
game
finished.
over.
Case closed.
Yeah. Shkura, thank you for
It
bringing attention.
reminds me a little bit of compare it with of Kiddush HaChodesh. We have now already established that it's going to be the Rosh Chodesh. We accept more people in order not to to deter them not to come next time. But we
Yeah.
don't make any conclusions out of their ages.
Yeah, it sounds like he wouldn't even accept it as a friend of Rabbi Huda. That's Rabbi Huda. Chachamim seems to suggest that would continue.
Yeah. Okay.
Said it.
Shkoyach.
Go, yeah, thank you.
Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos.